Hello, welcome to Greenlit with me, the voice which belongs to Toby Earle. In each episode of Greenlit, a guest receives the thrilling news their life is to be made into a biopic, and we discuss how that story will be told. Will they star? Which moments won't make it into the adaptation? And will Dracula make an appearance? In this episode, actor, writer and rap beats maker Hugo Chegwin will plot the course of this certain blockbuster. Chegwin has starred in and co-written the award-winning People Just Do Nothing, Channel 4's The Curse, he stars in Dave's new comedy Sneakerhead, and if he concentrates very hard, he's capable of levitating. Hugo Chegwin, welcome to Greenlit.
Thank you. How do you know about my levitation?
When do you think you first found out you could levitate if you concentrated really hard?
When I was watching Eurotrash. So probably about 20 years ago.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Antoine de Caunes, Jean-Paul Gaultier.
Yes.
Of course, formative.
Mad that he used to do that show.
It is.
Why did they do that show?
I think it was to expand our horizons and maybe demystify Europe, I believe it's called.
Okay, well, yeah, sort of did the opposite.
It did, actually.
Yeah.
It did. They became even more mysterious when you watch some of those episodes.
Yeah, like painting with, you know.
Was that the guy with his tallywhacker?
Yeah, that stuck in my mind. Amazing.
So you weren't watching that when you discovered you could levitate?
Yeah. Not that specific episode. It was, I've never tried it. Looks fun.
I mean, maybe. I've never tried that either. Wouldn't be my medium. I wouldn't choose that as my medium.
No, I've got an iPad with a pen.
So no one ever says that, like when they go on an art TV show, like whatever, like Landscape Painter of the Year or whatever it might be. They go, oh, so how do you? They go, penis.
Yeah, they should. It'd make it a lot more interesting. I did watch one of the portrait things.
Right.
It was pretty dry.
And that would certainly liven it up.
Exactly.
The process.
It would lube it up a bit, for sure.
It up a bit, for sure. And when you do levitate, is that often when you're like in a moment of great inspiration?
Anxiety, to be honest. Yeah. Or fear.
So if you're ever seen slightly levitating?
Stand back. It's only at airports. Security anxiety. To be honest, security is long. Like, that's the. I'm not myself going through security. I don't know why.
Ever?
No, I get in an anxious state of mind. I just want to get through it. You know what? As a teenager, I had a lot of paraphernalia on me, so I just carry that. Like, even now, I don't smoke in my car. But even if I see police, like, I'm still like, oh shit! Like, do I look normal? I think I was just carried that PTSD with me.
And how do you achieve the sensation of looking normal?
That's a tough question, because I wish I knew. I sort of turn my music up and just pretend that I'm sort of enjoying my music.
Reverse psychology almost.
They probably like this twat singing, like, you know.
Well, welcome to Greenlit.
Thank you.
Big first question. Is it pronounced biopic or biopic?
Biopic, I thought.
Biopic.
Biopic sounds like some AI sort of thing.
Yeah, something
that's what I associate it with.
Could well be the name of a corporation.
Yeah, it's got that corporate computer sort of vibe to it.
And when it comes to meeting the executives to make this film, Hugo, you've made a film. People Just Do Nothing.
Well, yeah,
in Japan,
I guess.
When it comes to meeting the executives, right,
yeah,
where would you meet them? Where would you want to have the meeting about this biopic of your life? Is it going to be in a restaurant? Will it be in their office? Will it be at the studio? Where would you want to meet them for this meeting?
Oh, man. I think I would have to just... Because childhood is quite a big, important thing in a biopic. Mm-hmm. Biopic. So I spent a lot of time at Texaco in Brentford. So I'd say, look, pull up. Like, and we'd do it like a weed deal. How many execs are there? Like four?
Let's say four.
Four.
They could fit into a Ford Z-Tech or
but this is, I think, a Range.
Would you be in a Range as well?
Yes. They get into mine.
They get into yours.
Because it's like the drug deal.
Ah.
So I'm like, I've got the goods.
Right. Got to explain to me how these things work. Right?
Yeah, no, I don't know either, man. But this is, you know, I'm assuming.
Right.
They get into the Range.
Right.
We'd stationary for about 10 minutes of the chat, at least.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, maybe go get something to eat.
Texaco Brentford, by the way, is a great shout as a meeting location. We've never had that one before. What's the layout like? Is it your classic forecourt, or is there anything particularly special there? good cafe?
Not really, no. There's a good area because obviously you've got the main pumps. You don't want to meet them there, but no. Off to the left, there's a whole cleaning. You know, there's a jet wash.
Right.
There's the one you drive through as well.
Yeah, nice.
But the jet washes are pretty empty. But I would meet at night as well, especially if the Range Rover's got the UVs inside. Even better. So, and you can park. There is parking.
Oh, there's parking, ample parking as well.
Well, I mean, you'd have to, where you get air for tyres, leave it there.
That bit, the bit you sort of pull up in when you run into the shop to grab
quick running,
that kind of thing.
But we'll talk to Boss Man and maybe get an out of service thing on there.
I like, so we've got that down. They're getting in, and this is the thing, right? Because you know this area. So they're kind of on the back foot, which is, I'm assuming, kind of thing that you want, right? This is the negotiation after all. Even though they come to you, they're making the film, you want them to feel a bit like,
whoa,
we've got to be respectful.
Yes. And I'll be respectful back, of course. Yeah, I'll have waters in like armrests, you know, like a good, like a sick cab. Yeah, then we'll just drive about.
Oh, yeah.
Just like slowly just drive about. How long do these chats last for?
I don't know, because they want to make it, right? They want to make it. So it's you ironing out the details.
Yeah.
So it's up to you how long the drive is. But I like the idea. Do you like driving and talking? Do you like driving? Is that the thing you like to do?
Yeah, I do, yeah. I do a lot of driving because I moved out of London and now I can really drive. Like 30 means nothing to me now. 30 was a big deal, like, you know, around here. Because it's normally 20.
Yeah.
And I'll push it.
Because as we record, we're in Hammersmith.
We are.
This is a first in real life, in person, greenlit recording.
Is
we're
it?
In Hammersmith. It is, yeah. Everything's been over Zoom. So we're really honoured.
Nice.
You're here.
Well, I'm honoured too.
Because this is West London. Mm. This is your home territory.
Yeah.
So you've been around these streets. You've adhered to the rules, 20s. Yeah.
Of course. I know the one way around here.
It is difficult, though.
Yeah, I could drop you at Apollo from wherever. I've got you. Whatever you need. You want a good shawarma, literally, other side of the bus garage there.
Yeah.
It's a spot.
What would be your usual order in the shawarma?
Just a lamb shawarma with everything.
Hot sauce?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. If you don't have, don't eat one. That's my opinion. Like, don't dip your toe in. Like, just go for it.
Is it so hot that you can't actually taste the food after the first bite, or have you trained your buds in such a way?
I don't know. Like, I mean, there's only like stuff that's like those insane sauces for me that do that, like their Reaper chili or Ghost chili shit, and that's horrible. I don't want to put my stomach and arsehole through that.
There is a weird competitiveness to the hot sauce thing, though, isn't there? Like, there's a pride in how much you can tolerate, and it doesn't really seem to be about actually adding that much. I don't know, enjoyment to the food or flavour, it's like a punishment?
Yeah, I don't do that.
No?
No. And I also go, like, with the country of origins hot sauce. Like, I'm not going to have Caribbean hot sauce with a Chinese.
See, this like, is...
sweet chilli.
Yep.
Because that's, you know... Or, I can't even say it, sriracha.
Yes, sriracha. Right, yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to switch it up. I'm not going to have some Lebanese hot sauce with that, like, yeah. I've got a system.
And I think it's a respectful system.
I think everyone should do this system. And you know what? If you don't know, just have Tabasco, because that's what that's made for.
Standard fallback.
Yeah, but don't have it with Chinese. That's insane.
So you don't live in London anymore. So 30's nothing to you. 30's nothing.
Nothing.
Would you take these execs? Because again, we're in Hammersmith. This is your territory, your old territory.
Yeah.
Get on the Westway. Ooh. Start going out of town, because it's an elevated section, probably one of my favourite roads in London, if not my favourite road in London, because it's elevated.
Going in.
Going out.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because then we're thinking, where are we going? Are we going to the countryside? What's happening here?
The only thing is, like, 50 average speed check all the way to pretty much Reading.
That's true.
To be honest, what I'd do, yeah, it is nice at night going over the Westway. I'd start off at Texaco. I wouldn't beat around the bush, though. I'd say, look, guys, like, thank
Shepherd's
you.
Shepherd's Bush.
Yeah, it wouldn't be around the Shepherd's Bush. I'd say thank you for wanting to make my biopic. Mm. Wise choice. Appreciate that. We won't get to the business now. I'm not a man of business.
Right.
I'm a man of pleasure. So let's go get some food.
Yeah.
And then I drive them to West Ealing Mangal Kebab because they've got big tables there.
Right.
There's no noise restriction. You can sit there for hours and they're not going to get annoyed. And, you know, we'd have a mangal and shoot the shit.
Is that the kind of vibe you want?
Yeah, that's how I think all work should be done.
Over a kebab at the mangal.
Or over like a meal, like, and not like a bougie. Like, I like a bougie meal. I do. But I think if you want to have a real conversation, have real food, like a Turkish barbecue.
Well, exciting news, Hugo. Your life has been greenlit for a biopic. But how would your life be told by Hollywood or Bollywood or Nollywood? Mm. And what sort of creative control would you exercise in bringing the greatest story you know to the big screen? So I'll start with the first question.
Sure.
First big question. What's the film called? What's the Hugo Chegwin biopic called?
Maybe something like Just About.
Just About?
Yeah, Just About there.
Why Just About?
Always feel like I'm very fortunate. I'm very lucky. But I am always just about there, but never quite there. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Is that quite a Kenny Powers thing to say?
Why do you feel just about?
No,
why?
But that's good. I like that as well. Like, I don't want to be one of these, which I have no reason to be like this, but you know, like, some people are so successful that they don't live in reality. They have, you know, people around them, a team, like all of that shit, which I'm sure it is essential for some people, but I like to do normal things, man. Like, even after we do like shows, tours, which I know to some isn't, you know, amazing, and to some it is, but like, I like to go back to reality immediately. Like, I want to go home, I want to change nappies, I want to do the shop, I want to walk my dog. That's the stuff that I really love. And I'm fortunate enough to be able to do that without having to have an honest job.
Was there a point where you felt like you went over the just about line and had a toe in, something was a bit more hectic, and you felt like, actually, I don't like that, I will just pull back from that?
No, not really. Like, I sort of crave I'm a creature of habit. So I like to have, like, at home, I've got like a studio in one of my rooms and a gym in my garage. It sounds great, but it's literally just a mat and a weights bench and like an iPad. That's what I do. But like, these things I like, and I don't really want to, I don't want them taken away from me. And I think as well, you can get lost in the sauce. Like, you can, you know, I've been fortunate enough to work with musical acts that do have these things, and I feel that their touch with reality is fucking mental, and I never want to be that.
Really?
Yeah, like, you know, Wash. Someone wants their Nando's chicken washed, or
what?
Like, someone doesn't know, like, how they're gonna get home, or, you know, it's all being organised for them. Like, I don't want that.
Someone wants their Nando's washed, their chicken washed.
Yeah.
Things, in water?
Yeah, it's insane, yeah.
So it's cooked and done?
Cooked and then washed afterwards. I know, I heard this conversation and had the exact same question.
I don't understand why anyone wants hot, wet chicken.
Same. But, like, I don't even know what I'm talking... I feel like Michael Scott. I'm just opening my mouth and words are coming out.
Well, so then I'm assuming if they wash the chicken, I'm sorry to get hung up on this, but I've never heard this before.
Yeah, no, go for
like,
it.
Like, then the sauce and everything comes off then. Like,
yeah,
so that's
it's ridiculous.
Almost deliberate, like, oh, I've had it cooked, but I don't want.
Yeah, it's like some LA diet. I don't know, I really don't get it. And he dried it with a kitchen towel. I went to see, I was like, this is fucking mental. And I went with the guy, the assistant, and we were crying with laughter. I like ridiculous, but that is fucking mad. I was just like, you are, where's your normality? Like, where's your fucking, who pays your council tax? Because can someone else pay that shit for you? I don't think they can.
I don't know, because I've never had someone do it for me.
Same. But maybe. I mean, I'd quite like that, because they're annoying, because I always forget to pay it, and then they do a court summons, and I have to pay it all in one.
Have you had that happen to you?
Every year. I'm not worried. I just pay it. Like, it's a fucking lot of money as well, but I know it's coming. I know that this is coming. I know that my partner and me are going to have a letter soon that's going to say court summons. She's going to open it, go mental down the phone at me, and then I'm going to pay it.
Have you heard of direct debits?
Yeah, I don't like them.
Why?
Because I'm very good at spending money. So I don't keep my money in my bank. My accountant has my money.
Right, okay, fine. And would you set up your direct debits at other places like Foot Locker or like for Nike for drops or stuff like that? Is that the kind of thing you end up doing?
It's more just like eating out.
Right.
I guess days out, being able to be spontaneous.
Right.
Shit like that. Yeah. I do like trainers, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in Sneakerhead, for example, which is your upcoming comedy, you play someone who very much likes trainers.
Yes.
And you, I believe, loaned the production some of your own trainers for the
show. All of the trainers, yeah. I did. Yeah. But that's because it's like a subculture and you got to get it right. You got to be respectful of it and, like, you know, show that you can, any subculture that you like, want to use. For me, it's very important. Like, let people just do nothing. If I watch that show and the clothing's wrong or the music's wrong, immediately I'm like, I wouldn't watch it.
With People Just Do Nothing, was there an American version that was in the works, is that right?
Yeah.
Were you involved in that in any way?
No, I just saw a lawyer in LA that looked like Hulk Hogan. that's facts, that's it. No, it was shit, man.
Did they film it?
Yeah, it was shit. The only good thing was Chabuddy G, the American Chabuddy G was really good.
Because the thing about, if I might be so bold, PJDN,
yeah,
was that you were all mates.
Yeah.
And it was organic.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming the American attempt wasn't.
No. But I think... Oh, fuck it, I say it. I think that there could be an American version, and I think that instead of... it sounds like I'm throwing shade on the production company, and I sort of am, but like from a place of love. I think if we presented it to the right people and made it about something that is a subculture that is quite similar to Garage, and we built the relationships with the actors and creators, then I think we could make something special. I believe that, but I think it has to be done right. And hopefully we can do that and might do that.
Is there a possibility? Because it's a lot of work, like you say, that's a lot of work because you've got to basically pick the subculture, get that right, workshop the cast.
Yeah, but then if you have people in that subculture that, like, I guess similar to us, have come from it, they love it, they know the funny side of it and stuff, then I feel that takes a bit of the legitimizing out of the way for us, whereas they can, you know, if you say you did it about trying to think about something that we're not doing it on. Yeah, say you did it about soccer and you had an American soccer player. They would know that 75% of the team is Hispanic, like, whereas here we might not know that shit. So
right.
Like just getting that sort of information, those minute details is super important.
It seems like that's a trademark throughout your work, is that it's the tiny things which make the big things real.
Yeah, I think that's super important, man. They're the things that I pay attention to, especially if it's something that I've come from or that I love. Like if I see someone trying to emulate it and they're wearing like the wrong stuff, immediately that's like alarm bells for me. I'm like, okay, this doesn't come from a place of love. I'll just be off. Oh God, I'm heartless. And that's not even to like be negative. Like, it's not like I'm like, oh, this is shit. I don't want these people to, like, I want everyone to win. Yeah, I'm just like, this isn't for me. It's not right. But people will enjoy it, and that's great. That's good. So if it, whatever it is, if it takes you out of the shit you got going on in your life for half an hour, like, you did an amazing job. That's what I think.
What is the thing that takes you out of your life for half an hour? Is there something that people might be surprised by? Is there a thing that you...
Lots of things, actually. I like watch car reviews on YouTube.
Hang on. What type? Like supercars or just everyday saloons, like Ford Mondeos and things. You know
no, mean? Like cars that I like that I'm right. thinking about. Like I'm always thinking about changing my car. Like the second I get a new one, I'm thinking about maybe changing it for another one. Like cars that are obtainable, like not like insane sports cars. I can't afford that. I'll watch. You like music production videos, just boring stuff, geeky stuff, man. Like behind the scenes of films. Yeah, like where they interview directors and actors. Yeah, or like You know, like people's houses, interior design shit.
I've seen some of those videos. Yeah.
AD, I think it's called.
Have you seen the one with Cara Delevingne?
Her house is sick.
That vagina tunnel.
Yeah. Wow.
Incredible.
She's well safe. I met her. She's a nice person.
Is she?
Yeah.
Did you get on? Was she a fan of PJ
Dion? I spoke to her for like 10 seconds. Yeah. And my friend made her a necklace. Like, he's like a jeweler, and he made these corrupt K chains, and he made her one.
No.
Yeah, we gave it to her at Glastonbury. Glastonbury's mad, man. There's a whole secret side to Glastonbury. You know, they'll have those pictures of like, oh, Brad Pitt was at Glastonbury. Like, there's like a secret, it's not even secret, there's like, it's like a spot that not many people know about, and it's like, yeah, they're all in there. You got to go through a rabbit hole, and it's mad.
Is it?
Yeah, I went there I wasn't in a good headspace, and it was mad. It was sick, though. Good headspace is in sober.
Right.
I was in a party headspace.
I mean, that's Glastonbury, isn't it? Like, but that must have made things even weirder. Like, if you go into a place like that while you're having a good time, and all of us, I mean, you're in the middle of, you know, the countryside as it is.
Yeah. It's...
And you've been performing, right? And so I mean, yeah. There's adrenaline and excitement. And
yeah, we got a guy called Griff, who's our Glastonbury guy, man. He drives a tank around. It's insane. He has like a waistcoat with a stitched on machine gun, and he gets you in everywhere. This is all true.
Well, I
want Griff in my bio.
Well, this is
to be me.
I was going to move on, right? Because the thing is, we've got the title Just About, right? But what's the opening scene to Just About? Does it involve Griff and a tank, or does it involve something else? What is the opening scene to Just About?
That is quite sick, actually. I wasn't in a great time in my life, right? I was, you know, going through some personal stuff, and we went Glastonbury, and we're in a tank. No joke. Like, it's like there's not a steering wheel, but it's like a military car, right? Maybe not a tank. We're driving, trying to find the stage. And I look at Griff after about, but we can't show 20 minutes, so we'll just give it like a minute, because in film that's quite long. I look at Griff and I say, are we nearly there yet? And then he says, sorry, man, I've just been going the wrong way. Does a U-turn, and then we can jump cut. Bang, stage, Glastonbury.
Yeah, nice.
Start.
Drop straight into that.
Pulse X, like a garage classic, immediately, with a big...
I like it. I have to say, being inside a tank is a great way to start a film. Because, God, is Hugo at war? What's happened?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I want.
Maybe you're wearing a camo top, because it's like a camo top thing you're wearing anyway, so it looks like, oh, God, he's gone to battle. But actually, no, he's gone to music battle, party battle.
Yeah, or you could just have the, you know... Just the floor shaking, and then it comes up full tracksuit.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
Do you like films like that start off? Because that's a sense of there's an unease there, right? You don't know where you are.
Yeah.
Do you like it when films start like that?
Yeah, sometimes. Oh yeah, I do actually. But then I always think, when's that bit? What does that mean? That moment. But yeah, I do like that.
Is it Sicario quite early on? They're, have you seen Sicario?
Yeah.
And they're in the SWAT van. They're in the SWAT, and you're like. There's a very ominous music, because the music in that film is so good.
Yeah.
And they don't know what exactly is happening.
Yeah, I do like that film. The second one was shit, though, I thought.
I couldn't bring myself to watch it.
Do you reckon that was a studio, like, this is a hit, let's do it?
100%. Yeah. For sure. I think it was a closed-loop story, wasn't it? Like, that's the thing I thought about the first
one. From watching Entourage, I learned a lot about these studios, I feel.
Go on.
Well, like, if you look at Spider-Man, what's his name?
Tom Holland.
With Sony, right?
That's right.
So obviously Spider-Man's a smash, like, so, and it's really good. I go with my friend's little sons and we have a sick time. And then he's done a few little, I would say, more independent Netflix-y type art house ones. They're all right.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's done that film it's a game.
Uncharted.
Which is utter shit. But that's because he's signed with Sony, right? So they're going to go, here's a 5 or 20 movie deal. You keep us happy. Make you're fucking rich. Is that how it works?
I mean, I haven't watched Entourage as much as you, so I'm assuming there are, like, I think, doesn't Tom Cruise have a deal with Paramount?
He doesn't count to me.
Is he too much? He's someone, right, who is beyond Just About, like, to a crazy degree.
Oh man, yeah. I don't get it though. Like, I have no desire to watch Tom Cruise. If I'm being honest, Collateral was sick though.
Uh huh. Is that because he was playing against type? Is that because he wasn't the hero?
I think because when I first watched it, I was like, wow. It was. I think So I used to get weed off this guy that also sold DVDs. Yeah, this is true. And he, I think he gave me that. And I didn't have like a, there's no trailer. I was like, what have you got? And he was like, oh, I've got this, this. He gave me that, Sin City and a few others, which I didn't know what they were.
Right.
And blew my mind.
What, you literally put them in the DVD player? No idea what was going to
I was like, what have you got that's new? And he would just say, Sin City. Like, I didn't have like Wi-Fi in my room. It wasn't like, I was like 19, 20. I was like, yeah, cool. All right, yeah, I'll take three DVDs as well. £2.50 each. So I remember watching that and being like, this is, wow, this is fire. Here's a thing I do like to watch on YouTube. I like UFO conspiracies.
Do you?
Love them.
Why?
I don't know, because it's mad. Like, there is stuff that, like, genuinely isn't explained. Like, you can't explain it. I don't believe, like, people that maybe get abducted or, you know, but when it's Navy pilots, then I'm like, okay, this is quite credible to me.
Is that all the recently declassified material that came out recently with the Navy pilots?
Yeah, so I watched this one. Well, my dad is massively... Basically, my dad loves all this shit. And he was like, you need to watch this. And it's like some Navy pilot called David Fravor or something. And he's on Joe Rogan. I watched it and I was like, okay, this seems quite legit, actually. And now I'm in. Now I'm deep.
Are you unnerved by it or are you just intrigued?
Intrigued. Not in, unnerved. If they can do all this stuff in the air, like with no jet plumes or whatever. You can tell I've listened to these interviews because I wouldn't know what that is. They can destroy us in seconds.
Yeah.
Any second.
I think you have to be at peace about an alien invasion, don't you? Because we're done.
I don't know what they want from us. They probably don't want anything from us.
Probably not Nando's washed chicken. Imagine that's what they're after.
No. Maybe they like our music and our art.
Well, the music, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, like...
Good music.
Good music in
good
that.
Good film.
First Contact, Texaco Brentford.
Yes.
If you were there, Texaco Brentford, doing your jet washing maybe, or your tyres.
Yeah.
Alien comes down.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
I'm just going to look, really. what can you do?
But what if, the thing is, these situations are always, you know, intrigues you. Like, what if staring is, like, really bad? Like, what if, you know what I mean, in their civilization, staring at someone is like a bad thing, because then you're like, oh, I've just doomed the entire planet.
Well, I guess it's their fault, like, really. What do you expect us to do is look at the floor? I hope they're here just for our music and stuff. That'd be cool.
I mean, stare at someone is bad in this civilization, because there's now, you know, the posters, rightly so, on the underground as well.
What do they say? Don't stare.
Yeah, like, look, a sort of threatening manner, like, because, of course, like,
right.
You could be sexually aggressive.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Things of that nature.
Yeah, if you do that stuff, you're fucking weird. Like, like, that goes without saying. Don't fucking stare at women, like, or men, or whatever. Like, yeah, it's just sort of respect.
And with aliens, have you ever seen anything you can't explain? Would
I
you like to?
Yeah. I want to take my dad to, you can do these trips to Nevada desert. To Area 51 and camp. But
yes.
My dad can't fly. He has extreme vertigo, so there's no way I can drive him. but I would love to do that with him.
Yeah.
Maybe we see something. He's seen shit.
Has he?
I think, yeah, he says he has. He's not insane, though, so I don't think he's lying, but... I don't know.
I think, well, we can definitely work in, I think, some kind of alien element into just about. Because,
love
of course,
that.
If you're at Glastonbury, who knows what might be happening
and
beyond that.
Yeah, yeah. We can sort of chuck in, like, a bit of a Stranger Things thing with my dad.
There you go.
Like a little side.
That's nice.
A little sci-fi side piece.
And then who's going to play Hugo Chegwin? Who's going to be cast in the lead of Just About? Obviously not Tom Cruise.
Nah, it's too ugly. Danny McBride, maybe, is me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Strong.
It's quite good, isn't it?
That is strong.
Yeah.
Eastbound and Down, Righteous Gemstones, and Beyond. What does Danny McBride have, you think, will bring to you?
Confidence that I think I need sometimes. I feel like he doesn't have anxiety like me. I think that's an American thing. Oh, they're very good at suppressing it. it's very sort of outgoing. Maybe I want to be Danny McBride, and that's why I'm picking him. Yeah.
Did you get into him through Eastbound and Down? Was that your first experience? Or was it Or was there something else you saw him in first?
I did see him in, I think it's called Foot Fist Way.
Oh my gosh. That was like a very low budget indie comedy.
Someone lent me a DVD of it and said I would like it. I think I did like it, but not like Eastbound Down vibe. But Eastbound was like immediately, wow. This guy is my hero. instantly loved it. It was one of my favourite comedies ever, I think. It's up there.
Is it because the kind of character that he plays, particularly in that, is someone who is so cheerfully ignorant of the world around them and like their own lack of self... They're so lacking in self-consciousness. Yeah.
I gravitate towards people like that.
Really?
Immediately. If I see someone like... Immediately, I am... Like, I want to talk to them and I want to be in their world.
Do you have many friends like that? Or are they like one-offs you like to meet every now and again?
They're more one-offs I like to meet every now and again because they're quite narcissistic. They're quite like... I mean, I do have one friend who's slightly like that, but he's self-aware and he's not narcissistic. But he has moments. But yeah, I do definitely like... If we're on holiday and there's a guy by the pool with wraparounds on, a mullet, like a bum bag and army boots, I'm going to try and like start a conversation and I'm going to watch the whole time and be in awe and yeah, eventually have a sort of communication with that person.
I very much like the specific details of what that person is or isn't wearing at any one time. Bum bag, wraparounds and army boots, because no one has army boots on by the pool, do they?
Well, you'd be surprised. But there's many things, like, you know, like maybe just swimming trunks and a phone holder belt. If I notice that, I'm intrigued immediately. I have pictures of people like that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you want surreptitiously take snaps?
Yeah. I don't share it because I don't want people to like laugh. I'm not trying to make people laugh at someone.
Yeah.
But just for me, I'm like, wow, that is fucking amazing.
When was the last time you saw someone with a phone holder on a belt? Because that felt very much like the era of the StarTAC and the...
Yeah. Oh, in America. I was in New York. I say it like I was in New York. I went on holiday in New York for a week. I wasn't there working. It's rife.
Is it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they love belt accessories there. It's fire. Like, you go to... This is a great thing about America, is you can go to, like, you know, like a workman shop, and you can get Carhartt.
Yep.
But you can also get a gun holster and a phone holder for your belt. You can get everything there. Dickies, jacket, shoes. I love that.
Do you treat yourself?
Not in there, but I always go in to see what the Carhartt situation's like.
It's proper stuff. Like, that stuff is proper stuff, though, isn't it? It's like proper workwear material. It's incredibly rigid.
It's not like the Carhartt you get here in, like, I don't know, End Clothing. It's this next-level durable shit.
I did actually, in the States once, buy a pair of Carhartt trousers from a shop like that, like black carpenter stuff. Nice. This is a long time ago. And honestly, like, the hip, what is it, the bottom of the trouser, right?
Yeah.
So rough, it was kind of cutting my foot a bit. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was actually rubbing.
That's what you want.
Oh, this is not great.
That's American quality. Welcome to America, sir.
Abrasiveness. That's the pure quality.
They always welcome you as well in America.
Yeah.
Constantly, I get welcomed to the country.
Do you like that?
Kind of. Like, they're like, where are you from? You'd be like, England. And they're like, you kind of sound close to Australian to me. Like, okay. Like, well, welcome to America. Thanks.
Have you ever welcomed anyone to this country?
Never.
So we've got the lead for just about Danny McBride.
Yeah.
Incredibly strong choice. We know how the film opens. What genre is the film going to be? And what sort of budget are we looking at?
Action.
Yes.
Fucking a lot. Like Marvel shit.
Yes.
An open budget.
Why not?
Because we're not meeting like... we're meeting Disney for this. That's Disney. Who I've got in Texaco with me.
The mouse is in Brentford's own Texaco. With just about.
Yeah.
We've talked about it's got a tank obviously opening it. There are going to be some aliens in there and things like that.
Mm.
Would you like to dip into Disney's library of intellectual property and then pluck out a few of their characters just to scatter into the film? Because if obviously, you know, it's a fantastical film. Of course it could be. Would you scatter it with fictional characters, or do you want to keep it like real people who you know and real
depictions? I think real people, but maybe we'll do a few Easter eggs in there.
Yeah?
Yeah. Maybe like an Iron Man mask on the side or Thor hammer. It's like for my son, because he loves all this stuff. Maybe I could have... So Steve Stamp, that's in People Just Do Nothing, was my neighbour as when I grew up.
Yeah.
He could be the Hulk.
Do you think of Steve...
As the Hulk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Similar biceps.
Bruce Banner or the Hulk?
Yeah. Oh, the Hulk. Yeah, of course.
Does he get angry, Steve? He seems like a very...
Big time.
Does he?
Actually, no, not really. He doesn't. But he's, you know, I wouldn't have a row with Steve.
No?
Long arms. Oh, I got long arms, boy.
Reach.
Good reach.
Is
good
it?
Reach. Three brothers. He's fought. He's fought hard in his life. Don't fuck with him. You will get hurt.
I would love to see, I mean, you say there's plenty of action, though. So there could plenty. Well be a moment. I mean, if, in fact, is it... it's the bad Avengers film, Age of Ultron. When
that was bad.
Yeah, Hulk and Iron Man fight. So you could have a fight. He could be, I don't know, he's fallen in green paint. You've got an Iron Man helmet on for whatever reason. And you fight and it's almost like a parody.
Or, and this did happen to me, Sipa, who plays Grindr in People Just Do Nothing, and Steve in Thailand. We got into a fight in Thailand with some Marines. And we got battered. But maybe in the film, we got the Hulk. So they get battered. That'd be quite fun.
I mean, why?
I say we got battered. Really what happened was they thought we were pushing into a queue and Sipa got hit in the face with a man's fist. a big army man's fist. And our other mate got headbutted. And that was it. Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah, I did nothing.
That must have put a bit of a dampener on the holiday.
It did, but there were girls on the beach, so Steve and our other mate sort of cracked on chatting them up, and I sort of felt sorry for Sipa because he had a swelling under his eye, but we still stayed out all night and smoked weed on the beach, which is dangerous in Thailand.
Because
you can get in a hell of a lot of trouble if you get caught with weed.
That's a good point.
And I did no think of that when I was there.
Did you only find out when he came back, or...?
No, we got stopped by the police on a moped, and they didn't find it. But then after that, someone said, not a good idea.
Yikes.
And then we flushed it.
Do you? Are there moments like that you look back on your life and think, oh, my God, we got so lucky there?
Yes. I remember when I picked it up, I was smoking a joint at a bar. Like, just idiot.
Yikes.
Yeah. Lucky, man.
Yikes. Well, I was going to ask you the next question. What parts of your life would definitely have to be in Just About and why?
Danger in Thailand? Yeah, big time. That was a big chapter.
Was it?
Yeah, we were only there for, I think, 3.5-4 weeks, but it was, Jesus Christ, it was epic.
Is it like, it's starting to sound a bit like the beach.
It is a bit.
What happened out there that kind of, did it change you? What was it?
It did, actually. I never read books, and I started reading The Alchemist out there.
Oh, yeah.
That's quite a sick book. And it's quite an important chapter, actually. I'm being real. When I went, I was doing uni, like failing at it miserably, not into it, but I was just still there. And then when I was there, I was like, you know what? I'm going to cancel uni. I'm just going to get a job. And I also said to myself, I'm going to stop trying to make music that sounds like everyone else's and just make whatever. And when I came back, I did get a job. And I got sacked, but I was teaching somebody how to make music on a computer, and his best mate was an A&R at Virgin Records, and that is what started my, in quotation marks, music career.
Really?
Yeah, he heard the CD, gave me an opportunity, and with my friend Harry, we then like took advantage of these opportunities and then eventually made a career.
So if you hadn't in Thailand said to yourself, I'm taking the plunge.
Yeah.
You might not.
Definitely not. I wouldn't have given that guy a CD of beats. Like, I didn't have that confidence. I wasn't confident, but I was just like, you know what, here, like, just so you know, because I was just teaching. I was like, just so you know, I kind of have an understanding. You can check these out. And if you think they're any good, then we can carry on doing this. You just pay me 20 quid and I'll teach you for as long as you want.
When the guy got in touch with you, after you did that?
Yeah.
Do you remember what that felt like? Can you remember, were you exhilarated? Was it kind of...
I was a bit nervous, man. Like, I remember him calling me up and saying... No, he asked me to come into the office in High Street, Kensington.
Oh, yeah.
And I went in on my own. because my friend I work with was working, and yeah, I was like, fuck. And he played me some songs and was like, do you want to try and do some a remix of this and that? And I was like, yeah, of course. And then, yeah, did it. And they were like, amazing, we're going to pay £500 for each one. And I was like, I'm rich. I'm rich as fuck right now.
I wasn't. What did you do with that first, like, paycheck?
Five hunter. Oh, man, I don't even know. Just, like, ate out and I was scrimping. So I ate out and just probably did normal shit for, like, 2 days and spent it all.
Mangle got a good...
Yeah, definitely went mangle, yeah. Maybe bought, like, a new something clothing-wise.
That's a huge moment in your life, all born out of just, like, I'm guessing, were you on holiday, like, a little bit of sort of time to reflect because you're away from home and you're sort of thinking a bit,
yeah,
different headspace.
Yeah, the Alchemist book definitely was, like...
Was it?
...put some things in, at the time, perspective for me. It's like, okay, I don't need to force shit. Like, it will present itself, all of that sort of self-help.
Really?
I wouldn't say crap, but, yeah... Yeah, it was helpful at the time.
Is it just that kind of thing of letting go a bit? Of, like, just like taking opportunity when you can, making your own opportunities if you can?
Yeah, and just, like, being 100% me. Like, not right. trying to... Because I was trying to make, like... I think we all, at some point, imitate people that we look up to. And that's our fallback. So, like, if, you know, like, I want to make beats, like, a producer. Like, Pharrell.
Yeah.
Like, I want to make Pharrell beats. But I can't. He's one of the best ever. I can only do me to the maximum. And I sort of had that epiphany when I was there. Like, I can't do Jay Dilla, Pharrell beats. I can just do me beats. And that's, I guess, the same with People Just Do Nothing. Because when we were in Thailand as well, that's where me and Sipa presented Steve with a loose concept.
Wow.
And he was like, yeah. This could be good.
Really?
Yeah, and we created Steve's... Well, I say we. Steve and Sipa created the Steve's character in Thailand as well. So that is a really actually important destination for us all.
That's incredible that so much was born out of that.
Yeah,
that one.
But it's like building. It's like, because prior to that, you know, it's like Steve was my neighbour. We, you know, an impressionable young age, kind of had a similar sense of humour and would do lots of... That was our bond, was like making each other laugh. I guess like lots of mates, but like prank calling and fucking dressing up when the pizza man would come, like stupid.
What would you dress up as when the pizza man?
He had loads of costumes, like a NASA outfit, and Steve was really good at falling down the stairs. Like, or he would answer it completely naked. Like shit like
he answered the door naked to
yeah,
the pizza.
Yeah, with a sock on and stupid shit like that. But then like, Sipa was doing the same stuff, but like sort of without having someone to do it with.
Yeah.
He's like us, but he was on his own.
Yeah.
I think we're like kindred spirits when we met. Like, it was immediate. I don't know. It was like some weird magic shit. Like, okay, this guy is either completely insane or super special. I don't know what it is, but I'm drawn to this guy.
And what? Which parts of your life wouldn't you have in the film? What would go on the cutting room floor, do you think?
Oh man, there's like a lot of it.
Yeah.
Boring. Yeah. Like, but around that time as well, there's just like, I was doing nothing with my life, like going to bed at like 4 a.m, waking up at 2, smoking weed. That's just boring and like achieving nothing. But I guess like sort of earning your stripes a little bit, learning your craft, but it's kind of boring to watch. You can just montage that.
Okay. Montaging it.
Yeah.
What's the song?
It's a song called Raise It Up by Slum Village.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good song.
What sort of, what genre?
It's like rap.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it uplifting? Is it dynamic? Is it?
It's uplifting, but cool.
Okay.
Spacious.
Spacious.
Yeah.
I like that as a description.
But motivational.
Oh, okay.
It's a good feeler.
Do you like montages in
films?
I
do. I like a montage.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It was made for a reason.
Do you like those? Do you like it when it's a training montage, or do you like the passing of time montage?
I like a Rocky training.
Yeah.
That you can't get better than the Ivan Drago shit.
And we've spoken about some of the things already. Like you've mentioned Marvel, Disney are on board for this, of course. Right?
Yeah,
Disney
of course.
Are making this.
Yeah, they got the bag.
So, What are the influences on this film from maybe TV or film or literature or comics or theatre? Would there be other influences, or would you like, as you said before, be 100% yourself and try and craft something which is not trying to be like anything else or borrowing from anything else?
I think the best thing to do would be, like, I mean, they're going to lose all this money, so like, I think just let me do 100% insane me.
Really?
Yeah, on 11. I'm not even directing.
No?
No. But I'm there all day, micromanaging. I'm not even writing it. Because it's boring to write. It's like homework for me.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't do writing. I contribute, and notes and ideas, but writing an actual, that's long, that's a real homework. That gives me that guilt, you know, that anxiety, guilt feeling in your stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't want to do that.
Do you like, so when you're writing or writing with a bunch of other people?
Yeah.
Do you talk things through out loud?
Oh yeah, I'll do that. I'll pace. Like, what I'd like is to send WhatsApp voice notes to a writer with me pacing, maybe walking my dog.
Yeah.
In the mornings, and just sending all the voice notes, and not in order. It doesn't have to be in order, the film.
Doesn't have to
Memento
be.
Memento style.
Doesn't have to be. Do you like it when you watch a film and it's clear that someone has literally just gone, I'm going to make this film, and it's not necessarily going to make any sense to anyone but me? And it feels like something quite off kilter. Like, it's kind of got an energy to it, which...
Yeah, if it's good. Like, sometimes if it's just art house for the sake of being art house, I don't like that shit. Look, I've got Disney Plus subscription. Right? I'm not Stanley Kubrick. This isn't going to be Lahane.
Right.
This is Marvel, Disney shit, my film. Sort of Kenny Powers, like, uplifting. But yeah, I do. I like Scott Pilgrim's thingy.
Yes, Scott Pilgrim versus
the
World.
I haven't seen it in ages. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, it's funny. I've not seen it for a long time either, and I thought about going back to it recently.
I enjoyed that.
That's because I think the thing about that film, that's because it was all about waypoints. It's literally like a video game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it was like every level, which is unusual for a kind of, I don't know, is it unusual for a film? Every film has its waypoints, right? Because you obviously, when you're writing or working on Big in Japan, you have those moments that the film has to reach, right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, with writing though, like, Steve is amazing. Like, I'm merely just chucking suggestions into the pot, and if it's good, he'll keep it. And if he doesn't think it's good, then he won't. That's the setup with that particular show.
Yeah. And so, and that, again, Scott Pilgrim, there's a good reference, because you mentioned about subcultures earlier.
Yeah.
Like, that is a subculture which is actually well-drawn and understood, which, again, is that one of the reasons it kind of appealed to you? Because it kind of understood both video games and lo-fi music and the music scene.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't... When it's good, like, you don't even think about it. Like, I know I just reference Lahane, right? Mm. But that's about, like, I guess, an underground culture in France. But you don't think about the subtle, like, the footwear that they're wearing or the how their spliffs are rolled, because it's real. And when you feel that, you don't... It's not something that you would pay attention to, and that's good. That's because it is all thought about, and that's what... I guess I'm trying to get at, is that, like, if it comes from a real place and you know that it's genuine, you don't need to pay attention to it, because it's there, goes without saying. I do like Lahane, by the way.
I mean, it's a classic.
Yeah.
It's a classic. And we're reaching the time that the film's going to be released.
UK. Sure.
Okay, just about is nearing release, okay? If the critics love it or hate it, are you bothered by it?
I guess a little bit. It's not going to ruin my day. If someone doesn't like something that I'm in or thinks it's shit, then that's fine. You're entitled to feel that way. But this is going to be a fucking smash. This is like summer. This is summer.
Is it?
Yeah, we're going up against Top Gun 3. I'm war ready. It's like People Just Do Nothing film came out with, I think, Paw Patrol.
Yeah. Oh, well, that is.
Yeah, I'm ready for the war. I don't think People Just Do Nothing make that much money. But this is going a fact. Hulk Hogan is playing my dad.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is definitely going
to Just thought
in.
Of that.
As a summer blockbuster, do you think that, you know, they are still capable of balancing action with wit and humour? Because there is sometimes sometimes they're just so bloated and long.
Yeah.
They're kind of diluted. Do you want to hark back to that kind of classic few summers where you had all those, like, The Rock? Well, I would think The Rock and Con Air and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
which was like,
they were sick films, man.
dumb smart films.
Yeah, kind of, but they do like stand the test of time, because like Con Air's on ITV2 like literally once a week. Like Nicolas Cage is getting the bag for that film. Like I don't watch every big fucking Hollywood smash film, to be honest, but I do like them if they're done well. There's a reason why the Marvel films are so popular, and they are actually good. Like beneath the surface of the green screen and the suits, and like, yeah, they're good stories, possibly.
And with critics,
I don't know why I'm Team Marvel now.
With the critics and criticism,
yeah,
People Just Do Nothing won BAFTAs and Royal Television Society awards.
Yeah,
what did that mean to you? You know, to win those awards, like for something which started out as a kind of underground comedy sketch to then be recognised by these big institutions. Did that mean a lot?
Yeah, I guess, like, for me personally, like, I wasn't too aware of what they were, really. Like, I know what the BAFTAs were. I don't know what RTS is. Like, that's not... I'm not being rude towards anyone. But for me, I feel it's important to... that maybe we help shift slightly the landscape on people that can get into these positions. Like, you don't have to go Cambridge or Oxford or... you know, come from that world to be able to change TV or make a film or have a cultural impact. And I think now that definitely the power is within the new generation of YouTubers and stuff, and that's good. Like, I like that a lot. I feel that this time they are telling the relatable stories now, and it's not, I don't know what they're called.
The Oxbridge types?
Yes.
Yeah,
there's nothing with them. I mean, they made sick stuff like Peep Show, and that's one of the best comedies ever for me. They didn't do The Office, though, did they? That's just Ricky Gervais and Steve Merchant. Yep. Trying to think. There's loads of great English comedies. I just can't think.
The Curse. That's good.
That was bad.
Sneak Ahead. That's good.
Yeah, let's see if people like it. I hope they do.
And the premiere now of Just About, right?
Yeah.
It's the premiere. Where's the premiere taking place? Who's invited?
Oh man, the premiere is like
Disney money.
O2 Arena.
Is it?
Yeah. We're going to have Kendrick Lamar open it. What were the questions? I'm just thinking about seeing Kendrick Lamar live.
I just wondered who would you have to the premiere? Who's invited? Who's going to come? Or who'd you want there?
Like everyone. Everyone that I have in Spotify can come.
Everyone on your Spotify.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an extensive list.
I'd like to be shown pictures of like famous actors, and then I can say, yeah, they can come. I don't know anyone's names.
So who isn't invited then to the premiere, and why is that?
The Prince guy. He can't come.
Noted.
I'm sure like publicly he'd be fine, but it just doesn't look good on me, does it? That's it, really. It's all love.
So just Prince Andrew.
Yeah.
Is the only one not invited.
Yeah. And Ghislaine Maxwell, is that her name?
Yeah, Ghislaine Maxwell.
Ghislaine Maxwell.
Although, if you've watched that documentary that was on the BBC recently.
I watched the Sky one.
Oh, okay, right.
I feel like I can't watch two documentaries on her.
It's a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot of invested time.
It feels like in those documentaries, no one person ever pronounced her name the same way.
Yeah, what is her name? I've gone for Ghislaine.
Even
a better word.
Ghislaine, Ghislaine, Ghislaine. I mean, it sounds like a vocal warm-up exercise.
Her dad was insane as well.
I mean...
Who killed her dad?
Well, apparently, you know, he fell off the boat.
Yeah, this is all so suspect.
Do you like conspiracy?
I love them.
Do you?
I love spy films, actually. I love spy shit.
Get some espionage in there.
Definitely.
Would there be someone stealing something from...
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Was someone stealing something from you? Would it involve a chase?
Definitely need a chase, yeah. I once followed a police chase on foot through Green Dragon Estate on my BMX with my mate Mark on the foot pegs. We could put that in.
I mean, that is going in. Yeah. What happened on the police chase?
They caught the guy. That was pretty much it, but it was just quite fun.
Were they quick?
Yeah, but they really need to sort police's footwear out. They're treading heavy. It's not fair.
Have you ever thought about advising the police on which is their best footwear to have for apprehending suspects?
I'm not sure on the police still. I don't know about that. I don't know if I like them. I like them when they're helping innocent people.
Yeah?
Yeah, but something about them I don't like as well.
I won't press you on them. I mean,
no, I don't know what it is.
Would the police be policing the event at the O2? Would you be okay?
No Babylon.
No,
because people want to enjoy themselves. We'll get hired security.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And you can advise on the footwear of those guys.
Oh yeah, they'll wear what they want. Yeah, as long as they've got, you know, like a bit of neon on, they can wear what they want.
Well, there we have it, Hugo Chegwin, just about, starring Danny McBride,
yeah,
featuring the Brentford Texaco, Wet Nando's, Cara Delevingne, Glasto Griff and his tank, The Alchemist, a transformative Thailand break, UFOs, conspiracies, the O2, and naked pizza deliveries. Hugo Chegwin, congratulations on being greenlit.
Thank you. Wow, when did we start?